been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. You were at the stadium, though, the last two games. You got to see Lamar play twice in person. What was the atmosphere like this past Sunday with Lamar's second career start?
Well, wait a minute. I still want to talk about this Thanksgiving meal.
Okay.
No, man, yeah, there's been a lot of action since you've been on vacation, man. So see, you come back and the whole landscape changed.
That's like, right.
It's just, maybe you can go back down to Ocean City. Maybe something else will happen. yeah, I was actually privileged enough to be in the presence of Lamar live, you know, the first two starts of his young NFL career. We already seen some action. As we know, he's been in the offenses, wrinkles here and there. We've already seen his first NFL touchdown and rushing and throwing. And now we see a two-game complete package. And boy, I'm sure you probably took a vacation from everything. But let me just say this. Anybody and everybody, including the dog, had an opinion about it because it's just been – I mean, to me, I don't know what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've listened to, and I would love to know. But, I mean, let me just get to the actual point, and then we can just – because this is probably going to go all kinds of crazy directions on this episode. This might be really good. Being in person to see it live and the electricity, and you even asked about the atmosphere – it was exciting. You know, the defense was introduced, obviously, in the Bengals game, you know, and he came out on the field, and when they finally got the ball on offense and he stepped on the field, there was an ovation. You know, it was exciting. Didn't hear a lot of grumbling. I mean, obviously, we won the game, you know, breaking that down in the way it happened, you know, but it was great. Everybody at the end of the game was like, okay, but then the sense of it was, it went from the win to, hey, we just snapped a three-game losing streak. We won after a bye. Lamar filled in nicely for Joe. It's all you heard is, well, he ran it 27 times and this and that. And trust me, I already went through the gamut, covered that, and kind of lashed out accordingly. And if you probably saw the Facebook Live, you know. So I was kind of, you know, like, well, it's not going to happen again, but, you know, the Bengals are horrible against the run. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep running it. What was impressive at that game, obviously, is they started with 11 straight runs. You can't assess a guy after one game, you know, let alone one season. Like, you need to – but don't go after one or two games, as we already alluded to. So, obviously, here comes Raiders Nation. John Gruden back on the sidelines. Raiders are reeling. They've only had two wins all year. This is the kind of team that you pretty much beat down. If you saw my messages earlier this week, you probably already know what Ronda Rousey or Charlotte did to Ronda Rousey in the WWE pay-per-view. Did you not see that?
That was the Survivor Series, right?
Pretty brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I said, the Ravens are going to do to the Raiders what Charlotte did to Ronda. And for all those you don't know, this was a great pay-per-view. Charlotte just went crazy and beat Ronda to almost unrecognizable almost. It was pretty brutal. But and I meant in a good way. Obviously, with me saying that kind of metaphor and cliche is – this is the team you just curb stomp. You throttle them like you did with the Bills in game one. You just take the team and you shove them out of the way. And these are the games that you win, especially in November and December, late November, coming on December. So obviously the offense starts, and there was a lot of buzz. I mean, the Ravens for a second straight week against the divisional opponent, they wore their black jersey, went all black this time. It was great, the threads, and they won. And then now they announced the Color Rush. So obviously everybody's like, oh, it's a Color Rush game. And I know you were hype, Brandon. It's your favorite.
I do dig the Color Rush. I was happy to see them
you
back.
You love that, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm the fan of the all black. You love the all purple. It's a good mix. But everybody was hyped. It was Raider Nation in town. And it had a little... Yeah, I wouldn't say actually, it wasn't a little oomph in the pregame because obviously we had fun tailgating as usual, mixed up with the Raiders crowd. I seen some few dressed up that were came basically from the Black Hole. It was great. And we just had talks about how you're seeing Oakland, the Raiders are of Oakland now, and it's the last time that they'll be in Baltimore as the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, they moved to Las Vegas in 2020, and it was good to see John Gruden back on the sidelines. So there's all that kind of fanfare and something to talk about. But the game, as we know, really didn't have that hype feel because it wasn't a playoff-type game. It really was for the Ravens because they had to keep the winning momentum to stay alive in the race. And when Lamar came out of the tunnel – second to last, Yonda was the last offensive player introduced. Everybody was going wild, and it's Lamar, and it's the same buzz. But then he came out throwing it, and he put all this pundits to sleep. Okay, well, you can't throw. Well, only ran it once in the first half. He ran 11 times total in the game with a rushing touchdown, passing touchdown, few interceptions. They won a game, and it was great. It was a great atmosphere. We had fun. It was that kind of Ravens football game. Had the old school feel. You know, you had the special teams return. The defense closed it out with a touchdown like that late. It's just everything came together. It was a fun win. And it was beautiful weather, man. It was mid 60s for a late November game. It poured down rain. It was cold the night before. So, I mean, it just was a perfect, beautiful day. Tailgating was a blast. You know, I saw some friends of mine. It was great. Man, I had a great time. And, the Ravens have two straight wins to put them on the right side of the 500 mark at 6-5. Cause it seemed like, since we last talked and got together, they were on the wrong side of that. So two straight wins in Joe's absence and have proved. Now, have you, since you've been on vacation, I know you just got back this week, have you truly been on vacation or have you dipped your toe in the water as to hear what the local fan bases around here are saying or radio? Did you kind of get your feet wet in that and muddle in that?
Now, I have been on vacation. I've been away a little bit, so I don't know, the deep stuff that has been going on with the team. I haven't stayed connected with, Twitter and especially you and all your information and the Ravens app. So I don't really know what the local media is saying, except that it kind of changed a couple hours ago, but the big question was, what was John Harbaugh going to do next? But, all the fans that I've heard, at least the ones that are in Ocean City, Maryland, 3 hours away from Baltimore, they're all very excited about Lamar, and they want to see Lamar play more than they do want Joe Flacco. So that, I think, is kind of a universal thought at this point, as the Ravens fan base goes.
Glad you brought that up, because I was actually going to ask you what the Ocean City crowds are like down there and what they want. Because, it's a different perspective. I know Ravens fans are kind of – I really hate to say this, but they're split, and it's crazy. And it's fun to talk about. A lot of the local media guys, including – I was kind of a good problem to have. And I told somebody – I know you don't play fantasy, but – Brandon, this is exactly what real life is like for fantasy football people. We do this every week for 16-plus weeks. It's who do we start? What do we do? If you want to know how fantasy football is played, this is exactly what it's like every week. Oh, I got X, Y, Z. Who do we start? I got this player. Who do I start over him? It's playing matchups. It's a lot of analytics. It's you think Harbaugh's got a tough decision, man. I mean, sometimes fantasy implications can make or break you, but fantasy and reality are totally different things, because this is a lot more because the Ravens playoff implication on the line. But, we've never had this territory before. I mean, hey, first year in existence call, we covered Super Bowl, we've covered retirements, we've covered Hall of Famers, we've covered it all. And this is a first for us, including a lot of people, and I feel like the team. The last time we were even in this predicament, it wasn't to a quarterback of Joe Flacco's stature. The last time we went for a quarterback change was near 2000, where Tony Banks started out. And no, I'm not comparing Tony Banks to Flacco or vice versa, but and we were struggling, and Bill made the change. We're going to go Trent Dilfer the rest of the way, and we won Super Bowl and had like seven straight wins and then all the playoff wins. So, I mean, sometimes it takes a move to do that, but it's not like that move where Joe's playing bad. The injury forced the hand, but it's a fun conversation because I talk to a lot of people, and they're like, well, if Joe's healthy, I want Joe in. You know, it's fun to watch Lamar. He's been doing great, but and everybody's like, well, the kid's not ready. You know, but Joe Flacco was once a rookie, wasn't he? I mean, that's how he kind of got his NFL start and had to get – I mean, every player in the NFL, whether they're a mediocre or a bust or a Hall of Famer, they were a rookie at some point, and I'm sure they had some bad games. So I'm like – how can you, you know, assess that? And then, and it's just funny to me. I've heard all these funny excuses, and you just, I mean, again, I don't like to put people in a place or anything like that. Sometimes I'm a little fired up, but it's just like, I'll get him with facts. I'm like, slow your rolls, learn the facts before you just go. And I'm one of them. I mean, I have to apologize sometimes because I get ahead of myself and, you know, don't know what I'm talking about half the time. And I'm just passionate and emotional, but it's like these people I hear calling the radio and are like, you know, well, Lamar's still a rookie and we're headed to the playoffs and I don't want our playoff chances riding a rookie. I was like, excuse me, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Joe Flacco not lead us to the AFC title game in his rookie year in 2008, or was that some other dude?
I think that was Joe Flacco.
That was Joe Flacco, wasn't it? So the whole – it just caught the crap with the whole, you know, he's a rookie. He's a rookie, but he's 2-0 and – again, we'll cover it this week. Obviously, cat's out of bag, and we'll cover on why. But if he balls out and goes 3-0, hey, Joe Flacco played 9 games before he got hurt, essentially, and was 4-5. And if Lamar comes in on his first restart wins, and he's 3-0, it's almost like he can't turn back because it's like, dude, he's got 75% of the wins that Joe got in 9 games. Took him 9 games, and it took Lamar 3. I mean, it's a complete effort. You know, a lot of people keep – and you can sit here – yeah, I told somebody, I said, like, you can justify points scored, yardage gained, but then you can break down every NFL game from here to the first Super Bowl and do the same thing. I mean, you're talking to – because someone kept saying, well, we can't keep winning if Lamar only throws it for 150 yards and one touchdown, two interceptions. But again, Brandon, did we not win a playoff game in New England on the road in the playoffs where Joe Flacco went 4-for-10 for 34 yards? Did we not?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, again, it takes more than just one player's effort. I mean, this took – we scored on every facet of football. I don't think there's any other way they could have – they kicked field goals. Okay, check, right? They scored it rushing. They scored it throwing. They scored a special teams and a defensive touchdown. So they scored 5 different ways on Sunday. So, and you're going to sit there and tell me that, oh, well, if you take away the special teams and defense, it's 17-17. Well, who cares? Because, you know, I mean, you take away all a couple of defensive touchdowns and a special teams touchdown, we don't beat the Giants in Super Bowl 35 as bad as we did. I mean, it's just unfair to say that. There's other facets of football. There's 3. There's offense, defense, special teams. You know, there's not just offense out there. I mean, you got to score on both sides of the ball, and I feel like that's a more complete team than just winging the ball 60 times on the offensive side, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to score 50 points because you're going to get a defense that's going to stop that, and then you're going to go, now what? Because we can't score any other way. So, because that's the only way you know. So I just don't feel like a one-dimensional team is going to fizzle out. And I feel like the Ravens can do that for some plays. And breaking down the Raiders game, man, again, I don't care who the opponent is. How refreshing was it to see the defense make a play to close it out like that, and let alone it was Suggs? That was special.
Yeah, that's been
finally we forced a turnover and get a touchdown.
That's right. That's been the Achilles heel for this Ravens team for the last 2 years.
No pun intended.
Right. but
speaking of Suggs,
they have been able to close out games. The defense has kind of given up a lot of points in the fourth. We saw that on Christmas Day against the Steelers, New Year's Eve against the Bengals last year. It was good to see that from the defense this time around. We have seen it earlier this year. I mean, in a few games from the defense where we were saying, did they really address the problems that we had in the past? So it was good to see that. It was good to see an interception and then a defensive touchdown. And it was Terrell Suggs. I mean,
fumble recovery.
Right. I'm sorry.
We didn't intercept the ball.
Correct. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
I'm wishing it because it seems like eons ago since this team had one.
That's right. And but it was Terrell Suggs. It was I believe it was his third touchdown.
And it was on the heels of Matt Judon's strip sack.
Who left the game.
Hat-trick too.
And then he left the game.
That was awesome. Yeah, well, it wasn't awesome because I actually heard after the fact that he could have slipped and fell with the cleats in the tunnel. So I don't know where he went. Because I'm above the tunnel, and he just started running. I thought he had to go to the bathroom. You know, I didn't think that was someone next to me said that. And I was like, well, it kind of makes sense because he kind of just like started off the field like thinking, I got to go. But I think he explained it in his post-game presser. So, but he said he almost fell, so he has to watch his antics. But, dude, Matt Judon was a beast and just continues it. And, a hat trick like that was fantastic. And getting the strip sack fumble, he fell on the ground. Suggs scooped it, picked it up. And everybody was joking. He tried to channel his inner Ed Reed. Even Flacco got on the actual sideline saying, like, come on, man. It's like shades of the old-timer. So how many times did Ed Reed get an interception or fumble when he always looked to pitch it and lateral it? And Suggs kind of did that, and he kept it, and he scored, and the place went bonkers, man. It was – because you sensed it. I mean, it was still a 10-point game at that time, and, it was it was that kind of score where it was like, no, we need to score. We need to put them away. And just the defense stepped up in a huge way. And Brandon, I'm going to go in some uncharted territory for a brief moment. So we never really talk about this kind of stuff, but, I've been ranting and raving so much that it's like, it's almost like people can't keep track. I always change the subject every 5 minutes because I find something new to nitpick at or to bring up. But I just like it because I'm trying to stir the conversation because I'm trying to get people to think. I'm not going to sit here, and don't get me wrong, Brandon. A lot of people keep coming at me because they were like, why are you so fired up? Why are you so argumentative? I'm not argumentative, and I'm not trying to defend my team as hard as I am. I don't know if you saw this because you were on vacation again, so I don't know what you did or didn't see. But you remember Harbaugh's locker room speech at the end of the Bengals game where he just went crazy? Did you see that?
His good speech.
Yeah. So that's where I got it all from because obviously that – to me, that was like almost like watching Ray Lewis reincarnated in Harbaugh. Like, it was like where'd that come from? And then Ray was at the Bengals game anyway, so it was kind of like maybe Ray gave him pointers on a speech because it was just crazy. So, but like, I got fired up, and I'm like, after that, I was like, I don't care who lines up for this team, who's playing, who's not. Put the best 11 guys on offense, on defense, and in any player on special team, and win the games. Because at this point, I'm fiddling up with going on a 3 and 4, 5 game losing streaks or whatever we did. I'm tired of the defense can't stay off the field and letting the third night. I'm just tired of all the like, oh, I wish or I wish or wish. I mean, the team ain't going to 16-0 and winning the Super Bowl. No, but we want them to play hard and we want to root them hard. And when they're not doing the fundamentals and when it's getting old and boring, you kind of feel frustrated. So the Bengals game, when we finally got that monkey off our back after the way it ended, and it was like emotion for me because in watching the Bengals game, I think that's where a lot of people mistake me getting all defensive and fired up. Not only did like we win the game, but we put that to rest. We got revenge from week 2 where they trounced us. We got revenge from last year where I was at this kind of the same game with different stakes. On New Year's Eve, looking to go to playoffs, it was 4th and 12. I'm ready to celebrate, and I mean, again, I know it's just a game, but when you watch our home team, they're present live and one play, the playoff hopes are gone when you basically know you stop them, they don't get a first down or not even not a first down, but score. Or if you prevent them from basically scoring, not even getting, even if they got the first down, they probably still win the game. But besides the point, you go from that emotion to like, boom. And then you're like, what happened? So I think it was a release of everything for me at that point. And I don't care if it was Joe or Lamar, whoever was quarterbacking it, but when the Ravens won that game, that's where it started and escalated. And, of course, now we're rolling. Okay, Joe's still hurt. Lamar's in. He's balling out. And everybody's got their criticisms. He can't run it all a lot. He's got to throw it. Okay, well, he only ran 11 times, and he threw it. And proving the doubters wrong, because I rarely, and again, you probably saw a rarity for me. I rarely get engaged in social media live while I'm at the games because I want to pay attention. But at that point, it was like, I was like, no, let's go. And when Lamar connected on those passes, converted for first downs, and threw those two beautiful bombs, one was called back from a holding penalty. I'm like, and I kept going. I went around. I was asking, like, every Raiders fan around me, hey, you seen that, right? He can throw. He can throw. He threw a deep ball. He can. And I was like, yeah, like, it's just like, I'm tired of the pundits and the critics coming out of woodwork saying, like, we can't do this. We can't do that. Well, I would love to revert back to 2008 and see what Flacco could or couldn't do. I mean, dude, apart from throwing a pick six in the AFC title game, he was actually trying to lead the team down there, and we know what Joe did before. But the problem I feel is we already know what's since the Super Bowl, what the record is. We know what the stats are. We know we haven't been to playoffs X amount of years, and the problem is, like you said, with a lot of people in Ocean City, like, they're excited for Lamar. They want the change. They're excited. I feel like we've seen the same broken record so long, the definition of insanity, that I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm like, I feel like I'm kind of ready for a change. And because it's been so good for two games, it's like, I want to see it continue. Now, Lamar could fall flat on his face, right? And it could all go crashing down to earth. I'm like, okay, well, you know, now if he comes out on Sunday and goes flat, I'm not going to sit there and go, okay, well, we need Joe, because the last performance of Joe, last time we seen Joe in the games, he was on the end of a three-game losing streak, and he didn't perform well in the Steelers game. He missed a lot of plays. So, to me, he looked actually worse than the rookie right now in those games, because I feel like he was a liability. He wasn't in the game. He wasn't paying attention and missing the plays they needed to execute on, and we lost by seven. And right now it proves large because of the Steelers' blunders, and they lost the game. The Ravens are sitting a game and a half out of first place, which is crazy insane right now. I mean, I don't know if you're seeing all this unfold, but I want somebody to just make the plays and execute. And I don't care if it's Lamar or Joe, but I think I've seen enough. But I don't know how you feel. I like to hear your takes, because I mean, it's good to get different perspectives, because a lot of people are split. They want Joe in because he's seasoned veteran and proven, but then it's like the other guys, you know, on the Lamar side, are like, no, I've seen enough.
Well, the way I look at it is, I think Lamar definitely is the future of this team. So it's good for him to get some of these games, like up against a team like the Raiders, just to get some of that experience in. Going forward, I mean, looking 2 weeks ahead, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs you're up against. I don't want to see Lamar against the Kansas City Chiefs, because they are a scary team. They're very good. They'll be good up until the playoffs, and they have a great regular season. I want to see Joe in that game. I don't want to see Joe in the game now if he's not healthy, because Joe unhealthy, scared to get hit, is not the Joe I want to see, and that's who we've seen the last couple years. So would I go with Joe this week if he was 100% healthy? I think I would go with Joe this week. I like what I've seen from Lamar. It's a small sample size, and it's at home, so I don't know if you can really put all your eggs in one basket just yet, but I mean, Joe's hurt, and Lamar has come out, and he has played well. I will say, watching him run and get hit scares me every time. Mm-hmm. And we've been over this, you know, more than I can even think about right now, is the fact that when he runs, he gets hit. It's not college. These are big dudes that are hitting him. He's going to get hurt, and that's what we saw RG3's career go down that way with Haloti Ngata's hit, and it's never the same. So, you know, it's good. It's good to see Lamar get experience out there. It's good for him to throw the ball a little bit more. Did he play a perfect game the last two games? Absolutely not. I don't expect him to either. But the only way he's going to get better is with the live game experience. And I mean, he didn't disappoint. I will say that. You know, I'm not saying, oh, he's terrible, put Joe in. I'm not saying that at all. I'm, you know, if Joe can't go, and we're on to Atlanta against the Falcons, or going to Kansas City the week after that, we're, you know, let's see how Lamar does on the road. Let's see how the crowd affects him that way. It's very intriguing to see what's going to happen in the future. But I still like Joe. Joe is still the quarterback I would go with. He's the veteran. He's been there the longest. He knows the schemes. You know, but you know, we'll see what happens. Joe's hurt. Joe's got a bad hip, just like his buddy Dennis Pitta. And, you know, the Ravens know all about bad hips. So I think they're being extra cautious when it comes to Joe Flacco as well.
Right. Well, like Harbaugh said, he don't want him to have in danger and protect him for his future. Dislocated hip. I mean, Pitta, it could have paralyzed him. You know, he had two or three hip injuries, and I saw the last one where he just caught it and flat. No one touched him. He went down. So it's nothing to take lightly, and I think they're approaching it the right way. But the notion of I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of said that this morning because I heard some callers on the radio calling in, and I'm like, you guys need to – I get it. But you need to pump the brakes because they're getting overboard on this. I mean, I get what you're saying, Brandon. Like, you know, him running, he's going to end up like RG3, which ironically, it's kind of funny how he's on our team. I've said it before, and we're the ones that put him out of his career, although Nada did it in 2012. But
maybe that's why that always does pop in my head, because it was the Ravens that did that to RG3. I was at FedEx Field. I was at FedEx Field when it happened.
I remember that. You said you were there.
Yeah. So when I see Lamar get hit by guys as big as Haloti Ngata, I mean, that's the first thing that pops in my head is this guy, you know. I mean, right. I don't even know what game that was. Was that week 10 or 11?
One of those weeks. It was towards the end of the year because it was in the middle of the three-game losing streak.
Right.
I think it was December, because then we played the Giants at home and clinched the division to end it.
Right. Because they had the division hats for weeks.
Yeah, they lost the Steelers, the Redskins, and the Broncos, and I think the Broncos was the last game. And then they came back and played the Giants at home and won that game to go 10-5 at that point.
Gotcha.
So, and then won the North. So I remember that. Yeah. And to your point, man, I get it. You know, you get out of there and you run around and these guys are in college and the guy needs to get more meat on his bones and he gets hit the wrong way. You know, but I bring up the injuries. I'm glad you brought that up. As I said this morning, and I get it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be so naive to say, well, you know, run him out there because, you know, who cares? I get why you're hesitant, because you were there lively. It's like me with the whole Bengals perspective and getting all fired up, because you get flashbacks. You bring it up. It brings everything out of you. You were there and you saw it. And you're like, well, I don't want that to be Lamar. And you have compassion for that because you don't want him to end up like that, especially with there being the Ravens invested a 32nd overall pick in that. And it's a team we cover and you root for. It's your hometown. And the last thing you want to see is your potential future franchise quarterback get hurt like that because of some stupid player who's trying to make a play. The other side of that is saying, and I went on a rant this morning to say, injuries are part of football. So because he runs, that's not going to say, well, okay, well, he should stop running because he gets hurt. Because is Flacco not hurt right now and he's a pocket passer? Did he not have a knee torn?
Right.
And I compared it to this morning. I said Suggs had an Achilles injury. He's not an offensive player. Ray Lewis tore a tricep. Andy Dalton's out for the year. What, a broken thumb? I don't know what he's out for. I think a broken thumb or something. And I know he don't run, right? So, and I get it. The reason why they say that is, and it opens me up perspective on both sides, because I just before the show saw an ESPN article about Mike Vick. Mike Vick actually talked about Lamar and said he told Lamar to quote unquote proceed with caution, because he said that's what's, like you just alluded to, Vick had the exact same recommendation, saying you can do what you want, not saying don't stop running, but then he said it just opens it up to being more available for that kind of hit. But then he said towards the end of Vick's career, it took a toll on him, where he said physically he felt all the miles because he ran a lot. But Lamar, I don't think is going to run, because he's already blown Vick's single game out of the record. Obviously, we already know Lamar's got the record for the most rushing yards and all that, you know, the first two games, and the ball's in the Hall of Fame with Gus Edwards. And we'll get to Gus in a minute in that aspect of the running game versus pass. But I mean, I told you there's a lot going on here in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, but also, Vick only ran it 15 times maximum in one game. Lamar blew it out of water with 20. It's said to be 27. It was really 24. The kneel downs, the NFL counts a stat as a rush. I don't know why. I really don't get that. I mean, it's a kneel down. They should just omit that from a stat line. It's a down play. But it's just like a spike ball. You're going to have a spike ball incomplete, and I guess it is. But, that's besides the point. You know, but I get it. You know, but just because Lamar runs it, you're not going to tell him no, he's going to get hurt, because injuries are part of football. And I kind of was funny, and I wasn't going to rescind my statement, because I said that, you know, Ray Lewis and Suggs and his defensive players are non-runners. But I was kind of saying, well, I could have rescinded my statement, because didn't Suggs run the football into the end zone? He could have gotten tackled or hurt. Now, Suggs is way bigger and more physical than Lamar, and I get that. It's just tongue-in-cheek, and I'm just poking fun at this situation kind of. But I'm like, listen, receivers run all day, running backs run all day. Some get through their careers with new injuries. Some get big injuries. Some don't. It's part of the game. Yeah, I don't want Lamar running it all over the earth because that's not what he's meant to do. He's meant to be a pass first, and I want Lamar to develop a pass first, then run second. And that's what Vic was, Brandon. If you watch Vic in his career, it wasn't designed runs. And that's what Marty got carried away with in the Bengals game. It was designed runs saying, okay, we're just going to direct snap it to Lamar, and he's just going to take off no matter what defensive scheme is there. And that's what I felt. If Lamar does what he does best and look down for the pass it, and if all other options are gone and there's a blitz pressure, then take off and run it and gain yards because that's the only play available, and he makes a play extended. But I'm going to revert back to two games ago. Remember the game, the Bengals game where Lamar threw it to John Brown to set up for the field goal at the end of the first half?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of X-factor plays. Again, I'm not saying Lamar's better than Joe. He's just got different skill set, and he's more athletic and younger than Joe. But those are the type of plays that Joe Flacco doesn't make. Now, I know Joe Flacco's led countless come-from-behind victories, led us down the field in Pittsburgh before. He basically led us down to a game-tying score against the Saints at home, and I was there live to see it. But the way that play developed – I just want you – so in putting yourself back in that play for a minute two games ago, that was a pass play because he was passing the ball the whole time to get down in the field goal range. I don't think it was design runs. Lamar didn't see anybody open. He was pressured. He scrambled out of a couple sacks, scurried to his right. He reset and then threw a strike down to John Brown to get him in field goal range past midfield. Joe Flacco, I don't care – if he's injured healthy, even if he's 100% healthy, no matter what part of his career, he's not running it around back there, doing that, getting away from pressure, resetting it, and throwing a strike down the field. That's the intangibles that Lamar brings. Now, I know it's one play, it's one game. I'd like to see it do it again, but he did that, and that's the type of things that I don't see Joe doing. Another thing I don't see is I feel like Lamar – is just so dynamic and open up to the running game because it's not a coincidence, Brandon, that the Ravens could not run it with Alex Collins. And plus, I think Alex Collins is the worst runner because he doesn't hit the holes hard. He's got the 7 touchdowns, I know, and all those touchdowns are within like 5 to 10 yards from the end zone. They weren't big runs. I mean, Lamar Miller had a 97-yard run Monday Night Football this past week. So Alex Collins isn't doing that. He's not just hitting the hole and going. So he's doing too much of that juke and stutter step. And Alex Collins, to be honest with you, I feel like – and a lot of his scores are sweeps and outside. Alex Collins does not run well interior. He's an exterior runner, So I say use that to his advantage, but I guess the Ravens don't. That was their only star feature back. Then as the year progressed, I've seen Gus Edwards get involved. It is not a coincidence that Gus Edwards now is running great with Lamar in and Joe out. It's the X factor of Lamar Jackson that's in there because – and Brandon, I saw it live as I was watching the game against the Raiders this past Sunday. Is you probably don't see this on TV because they might not show it to you or it's a different angle. But there was plays where I focused on defense, and this was a Gus Edwards run I saw because Lamar looks like he's going to fake hand it off and then take it himself, which he probably could. The play I remember it. Gus Edwards gained a good amount of chunky yards, but Lamar could have easily gained as much as that, if not more, because there was a lane open on the left. But because he looked like he was going to fake it to Gus and then take it himself, I saw the linebackers freeze. And then when Gus Edwards had the ball, he was already 5 to almost 7 yards up the field into the linebacking core where they had to react and then get him, and he gained the first down. So, I mean, go back and watch. I've seen it. So that's – I'm just saying there's a coincidence there's a true coincidence as to why all of a sudden the Ravens go from 27th in rushing, and 2 weeks later they're now 11th in the league in rushing in 2 weeks. And I tweeted about it earlier. Alex Collins played about nine games. He has 411 yards. Yeah, Green's got the 7 touchdowns. It's a moot point because they're all close range. They scored 4. It's great. I'm not discounting that, but the yardage. Gus Edwards has had half as many carries and gained just over 50% of the yardage. He's got 297 yards on 55 carries. Alex Collins has 114 carries for 411 yards. So there's no coincidence that Lamar's doing well, and then Gus is just out of nowhere. But Gus hits the hole. You said Gus the Bus. That's his nickname. And it's rightfully so, because he pretty much gets that ball. When he gets the ball, it's pedal to the metal, and he's got one speed, and it's go, and it's north and south running. As I've been – I think I plopped a blood vessel in my brain yelling so hard, because I'm like, Alex Collins does not do that. He gets the ball back there. Then he looks like left or right, like he's trying to get around the defenders. Just run straight. I mean, you're not going to run through these guys, but run straight. When it's third and two, he tries to go outside and he gets tackled. He did that on one play and got tackled for a loss and it was fourth down. Those are the kind of plays, and I know it wasn't Joe's fault, but it's a liability when they're not running it. So I say, again, we can sit here and talk about it. Joe's got the experience and all that and all that, but with the X factor I see with Lamar and running it, I say keep the, like you said, the locomotive and the bus are coming in the, hey, rolled in the Baltimore when you're on vacation. I say keep them at full throttle until further notice, because they're starting to play crappy defenses now and they cannot stop the run. So I say throttle it, because the Ravens have amassed over 500 yards of rushing in two games. So hey, if you want to keep it safe, run the ground. But Brandon, there's another X factor here. Did you see the time of possession the last couple games?
No. What was that?
Oh my God, dominant. The Ravens held the ball for 38 minutes on Sunday out of 60. 38.
Wow.
38 minutes because of running. What running bleeds the clock for one, keeps the other offense off the field, and it's ball control. Again, it could be a formula, but there's been talk this week, man, about, well, Joe needs to get healthy because we need him to, you know, air it out against the Chiefs, because we need to score 40 points against Chiefs to beat him. But Brandon, what if that's not the case? What if the Ravens instill that same game plan? Because, hey, the Chiefs are dead last in defense right now. So, yeah, they have the record and they got the offense. But I'm telling you what, they faced a good defense, which I don't think they have yet all year. It'd be hard-pressed. I don't know. I just they're going to get slowed down when they get a good defense. Let me tell you that. But if they're slowed down to a point to where you can keep them off the field, it's I say this. I feel like the Ravens should do another formula, especially with the Falcons, with their high-flying offense and the Chiefs coming up, depending on Joe's health or not. I mean, obviously the Sunday's out of the question, so we're going to get to see it. But I say, instead of trying to score 40, 50 points to outscore Matt Ryan, if you have the ball for 38 minutes – that's more opportunity for your team to score, less opportunity for that. And they always said the best defense is your offense. If Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and all those quarterbacks have less time with the football than you do, they have to be extra efficient. I mean, granted, they're all, you know, Hall of Famer players and all that, but that means they have to be extra efficient on the possessions they have, because if you go stop them, they go three and out, you get a turnover, and then you go back and control the ball for another 6 or 7 minutes running it and all that, man, and you score on top of that, game over. So this is why this Sunday we're really going to see it working, because it's no question Joe Flacco is not clear to play, and there was a source broken. This is why I opposed that Harbaugh's probably mad, because you know how he's been coy with the whole, no, I'm going to keep it under wraps to get the advantage. And apparently Mike Garoppolo, NFL Network, had a source, and it was broke on NFL Network this evening that the Ravens plan to start Lamar Jackson, that Joe Flacco was not cleared. But the Ravens have not acknowledged this, but then it is 7 o'clock in the evening, so we'll find out tomorrow. But the whole stench of it was, is we were going to find out tomorrow if Joe Flacco was even going to be practicing, because if he wasn't going to practice, he needs a full week of practice to play. He hasn't played since November 4th. And if we're in the middle of a playoff run, I don't know if I want a rusty guy out there. And this whole notion of, you know, with Harbaugh saying Joe Flacco can play without practicing, he's thinking we're dumber than we are, because no fan's going to buy into that. But it's an interesting topic. Lamar, Joe, there's a lot of pros and cons. I've heard professionals call on the radio and give their case on why I feel like the Ravens should move on from Joe and start Lamar the rest of the year. I've heard people saying, no, Joe Flacco gives your best chance. You know, Lamar's not ready. But if he's not ready now, he's not going to ever be ready. And I'm like, I get it. You know, the Ravens are in the middle of a playoff run, but the Ravens are also in the middle of a playoff run. But granted, I know Joe started since day one there, so it's sort of an unfair assessment, because you could say, Josh, well, Joe started since day one. He had amassed 11-5 record, but the Ravens, no one expect them to do what they did in 2008. I mean, you figured you had Troy Smith and Kyle Bowler, so obviously you knew they were lighting the world on fire, and then here comes Joe Flacco in, and the legend's born. So you just don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know, he – same way. Didn't Tyrod Taylor get hurt? He got his start in Cleveland and won the game, and then all of a sudden he's been balling out. It's no coincidence. And I feel like, yeah, Lamar's not Baker. Baker right now is leaps and bounds over Lamar. That's why he went first overall. But look what the Browns are doing. They've already gotten, what, 3 or 4 wins already this year? They tripled their win total in the last 3 years. And it's no coincidence that the dude's balling out because of an injury. So, I mean, again, Ravens aren't the Browns. Browns aren't in playoff contention. Ravens are. But, I mean, there's a lot at stake here, and there's a lot of good that's been coming out of these wins with the time possession and the dominance. And people are coming at me, man, because you remember the Titans game, how dominant the Ravens were, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Joe did the same thing. He led the team at that point, had, you know, the defense was on the field for less time. But then that's only one snapshot of a game. And we know, now knowing that Joe Flacco was hurt in the Steelers game, you see, and you alluded to it earlier, you see what a less than 100% Joe, it's a huge liability for the team. And I feel like if he's not, you know, snapping through the hip and throwing the ball sharp and hitting guys, you know, but it's just not only that, but a hurt hip's not going to make you not see a couple wide open people on a play. And to me, when you lose a one-score game to a divisional opponent like that, and the Steelers could have swept them, you got to look for Lamar and Buck Allen. I don't know what possessed him to not look at that, but even the replay shows when Buck Allen went in motion, Joe looked right at him, so he knows he was over there. So I just don't know why Joe Flacco would make a mistake of, oh, I'm going to snap it and I'm going to throw. And to me, I don't know. We can only speculate, opinionated based, but it could have been a selfish thing on Joe Flacco saying, you know, well, I'm going to force the ball. I'm going to run the play. But, you know,
I think that play is going to haunt Joe Flacco's career for the rest of his life. Not, you know, just.
Well, that was the breaking point for me. And I mean, that it's going to haunt. It might haunt him, but it sure made me see it in a different way, saying, like, I've had it. But at that game, I literally thought I broke my hand hitting the chair in front of me so hard, because when he missed that, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you don't see the whole field and you call yourself 11-year veteran. Like, that's something Lamar would make, a rookie mistake. So that's the stuff I'm like, I don't know if I can get over. It's like almost – I'm not saying it's like a forgivable offense, but it's like in these one-score games and in a race so tight, now I'm over it. And I haven't seen Lamar make that. Whether he might make that same mistake, he might, right? But – He like you said, he's played 2 okay to good games. He hasn't lit the world on fire, but they're wins, and he reversed a 3-game losing streak where Joe had it. So I'm saying, I think Eric Weddle said this earlier, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, that's a good cliche, but if he comes out on the road and does exceptionally well for a road game and they win again, I don't think the Ravens can go back. I mean, it's almost like digging the hole harder. Like, how can you? It's just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Right now, you're like, well, Lamar's 3-0. We're 7-5 now. Joe, sorry, dude. It's a tough call to make, and I'm happy Harbaugh's the only one that has to make it, because it's stressful, dude.
I mean, even if you just say like, all right, Joe's healthy, he can go now. I mean, like you said, he hasn't practiced or played since the beginning of November. How do you, you know, go after the playoffs with a veteran who is rusty when you're winning with an inexperienced rookie? I mean, you can't go back to Joe Flacco, because he might not even, like, just logistically, he might not be in football shape, or he might not be 100%. You go with the guy who's winning, that is 100%. Yeah, you would. Absolutely.
Well, it's also it's fun and it sucks at the same time, because everybody keeps saying, and including me, I was like, well, I would like January Joe back for the playoffs if we can march towards there. Because it's like, okay, what if we fast forward 6 weeks and Ravens are in the playoffs, whether the 5th seed, 6th seed, or they somehow take a Asian or division crown, which towards the end here we'll break down how that can happen. But it's almost like, you're right. You want that seasoned vet Joe in there because he's got the playoff experience, but we just alluded to it earlier. It's not a fair assessment, because Joe Flacco was a rookie and he played in the playoffs in his rookie year, and he took the team to an AFC title game where they were only down a less than a score, and he was leading the team, and lo and behold, he throws a pick, because he's a rookie, throws a pick to the best player in the field, and he throws a pick six, and it's over, and the Ravens lose. But we know the body of work. We know that run. Three championship games in 5 years, some roll run, and then it was over. So, some caller called on the radio show and said this, and it kind of made sense because I think this is where all frustration boils down to. He said Joe Flacco played well for his rookie deal. He got paid, and then he stopped working. He just stops because it was like, where's that kind of play? And don't tell me it's a lack of playmakers, because since day one Joe stepped on the field in 2008, there hasn't been playmakers. It's been the same cookie cutter offense. He went from a Todd Heap and a Derek Mason to a Dennis Pitta and a Steve Smith and a Dennis Pitta and Anquan Boldin. So it's been the same cookie cutter offense. It's been signed a proven wide receiver vet who's big and physical and have a good tight end, and Ray Rice was the X factor, and I feel like since Ray Rice left too, that was it, because he made some dynamic plays in the backfield, and the Ravens have not had a viable running back since then. And I feel like now, two games in, Gus Edwards has proven it. And Brian Billick's always said it's a what if you done for me lately league, and lately Lamar and Gus Edwards are balling this offense out. And you know what's funny is, you know that whole Crabtree bit, how, you know, everybody interviewed him at the end of the Bengals game. Well, you didn't really get the ball. And then he caught the touchdown against the Raiders in his former team of 3 years, which was good. You've seen that and he get involved. You've seen Mark Andrews catch it. And Mark Andrews, sorry, but he needs to not turn around. He needs to pay attention and run straight forward. That's a touchdown. And a beautiful ball to John Brown, which was unfortunately called back from a holding penalty. But, you know, everybody's got to step up, and I just feel like with, you know, everything going forward with Gus and Lamar, the receivers are going to get their due, and everybody keeps alluding to, like, we're receivers of that diva, they want the ball and all that. I mean, Crabtree's been – I feel like he's taken a high road. Again, you don't know whether he's telling the media what they want to hear, and then on the back end he's pouting in the meetings or something, but you just don't know. But he even said – he goes – you know, he's in support of Lamar. He said it's the Lamar Jackson show. And he said, hey, we won the game. And he said it's winning football. He goes, I don't care. He pretty much don't care if he got involved with 20 catches and 100 yards or whatever, or one catch for this. You know, it's a winning formula. I can see if they lost the game. But I don't know if you've been watching the post games at all, but Snead didn't have a single target or single catch. And he looked like his mom died after the game. He was being interviewed, and he just looked like we lost the game. He wasn't smiling. He had the same straight, morbid look on his face, answering questions like he was mopey. And I'm like, there ain't room for that, dude. I don't care if he gets zero targets. We won a game. Do you want the team to be in playoff position, or do you want your stats? I mean, it's just, you paid this. I don't know NFL pay structures, but I feel like they get paid the same regardless, right? But I mean, no, it's, I feel like make the plays, win the game. I don't care if we need to run it 50 times or throw it, but I joked about it, and it's dead true. You talk about throwing it all the time. What do you think about Ben Roethlisberger, who threw it 400 yards and lost the game? So, I mean, granted, if I'm wrong, but if that was Baltimore would burn down in a riot because it would everybody be up in arms again. You know, they clamor, they want to throw the ball, and then we throw it a lot and then lose. Now what? You know, it's, oh my God, you know, so chill. You know, I don't care if Lamar throws it for 100. I don't care if he runs it for 100. I don't care if Gus Edwards is running it. I don't care if Crabtree's catching 200 yards and two touchdowns. If it ends up being a winning formula, I said it earlier, everybody's burning it up about Lamar Jackson's QBR rating, but the Ravens are 2-0 with him in there. You know, stats are for fantasy football. The wins, I mean, Brandon, I would love to pull NFL players and ask them, do you care about stats or wins? I know stats get to the wins. Obviously, you need stats to do well, and I get all that. But again, if you put down on paper Lamar Jackson's stat line and Ben Roethlisberger's stat line, and you look at the Steelers lost the game and the Ravens won, that W is a far more valuable stat than Ben Roethlisberger's. Because Tony Lombardi alluded to it online today, and I kind of, you know, we were going back and forth a little bit, and he said online too, like, a lot of 400 passing yard quarterbacks still lose a game. And we were talking about, like, he was alluding to how Mariota had a crazy, almost a perfect passer rating, and his Titans lost by like 17 to 20 points because it's a complete team effort. It's not just the quarterback, but it's like you can be perfect. But how would it be if Joe never got hurt, and you want Joe to throw it more, and he throws it more. Or let's say, you know, let's just use the current scenario instead of throwing it out there, okay? All right. Why don't you just have – let's have Lamar air it out, him not running it no more. He throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and then the Ravens lose. Then what are we going to talk about then? It's not going to be Lamar's fault because we threw the ball. So, you know, it's like just win the games at any cost, you know. I'm at the point in the season as a fan as well as rooting the team hard for now that we're in the thick of the playoff race now where it's just win the game by any means necessary. There was a Ravens video – by the way, you know, you being in the production realm as you are, have you been paying attention to the Ravens marketing this year? It is top notch.
Yeah, it actually has been great. They've been putting out like little mini trailers each game.
They need to I told them, I don't know about you, but I'm actually going to email them at the season's end and saying with these game trailers, they need to continue in this whole like whatever they do. I'm all for it. Like I don't know if you've been paying – I'm glad you've been paying attention, but we have this great Ravens chat that we do started on text message, and like every week we send the videos out and we're all getting pumped. I don't know about you, man, but it I live for them videos every week. I love them.
Yeah, they're absolutely fantastic, and I think a couple of the stuff that was done last year, a couple of the Wired specials and everything, they've won Emmys. So the Ravens –
the Wired segments are awesome. The one this week is pretty good. I watched it today.
Yeah, the Ravens production team, they are top-notch talent.
Yeah, we're blessed here. I mean, it's one of those unless you're passionate like us with the whole, you know, audio and media and videos and all that – you take it for granted sometimes. This is just fanfare. Oh, yeah, but these guys, they with these videos and the way they do things and the segments, they do a great job. And it gets me into the action informed. And I live for watching these things weekly. But I'm hyped, man. I mean, you know, and I feel like, Brandon, I feel like this, man. I don't know about you, but do you feel that we're not even going to get on Harbaugh at this point? Because I don't even know if it's warranted, because I don't even know if that whole rumor, the mutual parting ways, is even have any merit. It could be just the words of a reporter. I did say the podcast at the time, you know, whether you take a story for face value, at some point, any part of that story is probably true. Even if it's one sentence or one word, some part's true. But I ask you about like Joe's future and the future of the franchise, Lamar versus Joe starting. Do you feel in your heart of hearts that Joe Flacco would be on this team next year?
No, I don't at all. I think there's an option to get out of that contract. That's the other thing, though, you got to think about is that contract, that big money contract. If there isn't a clause that says that they can get out of it this year, is anyone else going to take that that bill of Joe Flacco, especially at this point in his career with how many injuries he's had? Will another team take the contract with him? I don't know. If there is a clause where it says you either restructure or you leave, then I think that they're going to lowball him and say, look, you're done. It's time to move on. Thank you for the years. Thank you for the Super Bowl, but that's it. Even if Lamar didn't get any starts this year, I don't think Joe would be back, just because it has been such a poorly executed offense since the Super Bowl. I mean, this is how many years now since the Super Bowl? It's not the Joe Flacco that won it. It's not the same Joe Flacco, and this year is really different than all the other years because he does have wide receivers, he does have targets. The offensive line, yes, is a little bit beat up, but for the most part, they are. You know, there's a lot of big bodies there. I mean, you look at Ronnie Stanley, Matt Skura. You know, he's okay. You've got Orlando Jr. there. I mean, this year should have been Joe Flacco's return to his former self. And
he was starting like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, but then
that three-game losing streak, I don't know what happened. It just that Cleveland game, it started. And then they got it back in the Titans game there, and I know he led us back in the Saints game. But I just felt like that Browns game, the mojo just went out the door. I mean, I don't know what it was. I mean, we were riding high. Pittsburgh game, Sunday Night Football, and – And it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a Super Bowl 47 MVP Joe Flacco thing, and he's got the trophy. And how many times – you can go on these countless shows. How many times have I sat here and poured my heart and soul and felt like I was the only one defending this guy? You know, when everybody's throwing him under the bus, we need to get him out of town. He sucks. He's overpaid. He's this. He's that. And then now it's kind of funny because, again, I don't know if you've seen voices saying it now, but now that Lamar's in – yeah, now it's kind of like, now you see all your Flacco hitters who wanted him out of town. Now you're seeing Lightwood's life like without him and with a rookie quarterback now. So you can't have it both ways. You either want Joe in or you want him out. But I just feel like it's heartbreaking and disappointing because I've always wanted him to do so well. And since the Super Bowl year, you would think, I mean, hey, I put myself in his position. I'm not an NFL quarterback, man, but I would think if you were in the same position – If you had that run and just got and won the Super Bowl and got paid, you would say, how can I have that again? How can I sustain that and get better? Not just go, you know, but it just, again, it could be the line, it could be the injuries. I knew he had the knee, but I don't care. It's, I mean, when your own quarterback, remember that whole whirlwind with the whole Joe Flacco's passion was questioned, that whole thing?
Right. Even Ray Lewis chimed in about that.
Yeah. So I feel like when that happens, there's a problem. Especially with your star quarterback player who won an MVP in the Super Bowl. So I'm like, when that's called into question, I don't know who started that mess. I don't know if it was just media conduct, and I know Ray chimed in on it. But when that happens, that's saying something when it's like, okay, you won a Super Bowl, and I think that comes with high expectations. Yeah, I know Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Yeah, I know Trent Dilfer won one with us, and there's some bad quarterbacks who've been there, and he won it, lost it. But besides the point, Joe had – a postseason run that rivaled Joe Montana, he tied him. And if Joe Flacco would have thrown a second-half touchdown Super Bowl or any other touchdown pass, he would have surpassed that with no picks because he had 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in four playoff games. He won the Super Bowl, and he got the MVP you know, because of that body of work. And Joe deserved it. He deserved to get paid. Joe rolled the dice on himself, saying, no, I'm not going to redo my contract. I'm playing my existing one, and I'm going to go and ball out this year. And balling out, he won his ticket Super Bowl. So then you're like, okay, you're sure not going to let him walk, because I think the whole staff and the whole team would have been moved out of town if they'd let Joe Flacco walk out of Super Bowl. So you had to pay him. Ravens were forced. He played with the house money, and he actually beat the house. So he goes, you know what? Pay me. And he got earned it. But that's the problem in this town is – he hasn't played to that level since then, and now we're at that crossroads, and now because Lamar's about to take over, and that's why I brought that up, is we already know if he's not going to be on the team, why after the injury and Lamar's doing so well, and what if he does well on the road on Sunday and has three straight wins, why even bring him back when you know the sun is setting on his career here anyway? It's thanks, but no thanks. You're going to hold the clipboard. You'll be second in command. We might make RG3 inactive, but – right now, you're going to back this kid up. It's his future now, and you knew this while we drafted him 32nd. So, I don't know. And a lot of people are saying, like, oh, Joe's selfish. He's pouty. He's doing this and that. But one thing was brought up today, and I don't know if you saw this, but do you know, like, the when the backup quarterbacks are on the sideline and they have the earpiece in and they're all, like, involved? Joe didn't have an earpiece in.
No. Joe looked pretty bored on the sidelines.
Well, he did. I mean, he was shown on the Jumbotron a couple of times. Well, in the Ravens production, giving him credit, he actually was celebrating with Suggs, you know, on the sideline after fumble recovery for a touchdown. But, like, a lot of people, and again, I didn't watch the whole time unless you had eyes on Joe Flacco at all the time and not watch the game. But a lot of people are saying, like, after the touchdown, he didn't go up and congratulate Lamar, wasn't involved. I mean, you hear it a lot of times, and it's no secret. I am a Tom Brady fan. I'll put that out there if people don't know already. But you wonder why, because to me, I almost went to Brett Favre's Hall of Fame induction. I sucks I didn't go. Brett Favre was fun watching for me because Favre loved playing the game. He always run around. He gets excited. He did that, and Brady does that. I've seen Brady run down the sideline when his defense scored a touchdown, a pick six, and Brady runs down the sideline celebrating with his team on defense. How many times you see Gronk do a Gronk spike, and he goes up to Gronk and headbutts him with a helmet on? Like, that's Brady, and that's why I love it. I just feel like Joe Flacco, again, it could be a personality. I don't fault him for that because everybody has their own personalities. You might get excited over something that I might think is boring, and I might get overly excited for something you might not like. That's what makes us all unique as humans. But for Joe being in the high caliber position of an NFL quarterback, especially in this town, you kind of want that excitement. This is why I love watching Brady play, and it sucks he's on the tail of his career, because I live for that. I love that fire and that that's why Ray goes so good, because he was that he was passionate just being in the owner's box during the Bengals game. I mean, it's Ray. When you have that passion, it oozes on everybody else, and you have that swagger, and I think this is why. I mean, I've always said this, and I think I'm seeing it now. You go as far as your leader, or it's always said, you go how I go. You know, you follow the leader, how Joe's demeanor is. And I feel like that's why the offense has gotten that vanilla and boring, because that's Joe. And it's no fault of his own. I mean, we've seen him get fired up. He's fist bumped. You know, he's fist pumped. He spiked balls. He gets fired up. I've seen him celebrate. But it's just like – but I just personally wish I'd seen a lot more of that. You know, and you can't change somebody. I'm not saying you shouldn't be somebody you're not. It's just – to me, if I was in a position of that stature, I would be a little bit more enthusiastic. But that's just me, I guess, because I take things there. I don't know. But a lot of people are more fired up than others. Some people are reserved. That just might be the way he goes about his business, and that's his right, and that's his way of doing things. Not saying, you know, Lamar should be the eccentric guy that runs down and celebrates, but I just want to see a bit more oomph. And I think at that point, we can just go back in the vault here of shows we just did a month ago. We just literally said this offense, or we talked about it, this offense is vanilla and we hate vanilla ice cream. I want some flavor in it. I want some sprinkles. I want some, you know, I want some hot fudge. You want to spruce up a little bit, and that's what Lamar's doing, and I don't know why people are hating on it. So, because it's working, and it's fun, and for the first time going to the games the past two games, man, I didn't want to get out of my seat on offense, go to the bathroom, because I tell you what, I usually do it on offense because I know it's coming. But because defense, I like to stay on my seat for in case we get a turnover or a stop. I like to be on defense. That's my side of the ball still. So, but I mean, it's a lot to digest, a lot to chew on. But as we know, Lamar Jackson, or as we know, at least unofficially, you know, not confirmed by the Ravens. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Joe Flacco is not cleared to play by doctors. Lamar Jackson will get the start, third straight start, first road start, and it's against Matt Ryan and the Falcons, who have a high-powered offense. So it's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really going to be the biggest test, you know, in the Lamar era for the Ravens. I mean, two games, yes, it's a very small sample size, and it was against one of those teams was the Raiders, so it's hard to compare and contrast that. But This is going to be a good test for the kid, and let's see if the defense can keep up what they've been doing the last couple games, because they've been able to finish off some teams. I'd love for them to finish off that team in Atlanta as well.
And they have a pretty good chance because of the bad defenses, and just take it game by game. Everybody's getting too ahead of themselves. Well, we have a huge game against the Chiefs and the Chargers. Oh, my God. But the Chargers were at their star running back, and they played the Steelers, which – I'm going to cover later in the week, depending if we'll talk scheduling. So me and you might not be able to, unfortunately, do a show. But now we're going to break it down, because the Steelers play the Chargers this weekend, which is huge. But with the Steelers losing, what if the Steelers were to lose to the Chargers, the Ravens win on Sunday with Lamar in Atlanta, and we're right there? That would put the Steelers at 7-4 and the Ravens at 7-5. Dude, if we got Monday morning and that happens – I might have to call it work, because I'll be just too excited. I might not know what to do myself. But then this is why I was alluding to it. If that scenario were to happen, and it likely could, that's why I got so mad at Flacco for missing those wide open reads, because in a Steelers game of that magnitude, it's like, dude. And then now you're half game. Let's say you win that Steelers game, and then this scenario happens. The Ravens win on Sunday, Steelers lose. The Ravens are in the driver's seat in the AFC North in the same week. So that's why it sucks, because it's like you look back on it, hindsight is always going to be 20/20 vision. But when the seasons are that close, you can always say woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I don't know if I can forgive missing those plays. And now if those plays were on the board and he missed them, okay, I can see that. But dude, they were wide open, and yeah, you had to make the play. Who knows? He throws it over there. The defense might go get him. I don't know, but they were pretty wide open to me. And every time I go back and look at that play, I feel 99.9% sure that would have been a touchdown, but who knows? I mean, the play didn't happen. He didn't even throw it over there, so who knows what might happen. It wasn't like he underthrew it, overthrew it, but it's like I rest my case at this point. But at any rate, whether you support the decision, I mean, it's no decision at all because it's doctor-led and Joe's not healthy, but I feel it this way, and someone said it on social media, and I couldn't agree with them more. And I mean, again, we can break it down. We want Joe in. We don't like Lamar. We don't like Lamar. We want Joe, and vice versa. We can break it all down. But at the end of the day, dude, we're all family. We're all Ravens fans. Why can't we just root for the best possible outcome and a Ravens win? Someone said that too. He goes, enough with the bantering back and forth. I hate Lamar. I hate Joe. I love Lamar. I love Joe. We need this guy to start. We don't need this guy to start. We need this. No, it's – why don't we just go out and execute, win a game? How about rooting the Ravens hard for once? I mean, it's just – I mean, it's fun. Again, it's been fun to sit by and watch fans argue amongst themselves over nonsense, you know, and it's just – and it's fun conversation and opinions out there. But at the end of the day, we don't control what – if both quarterbacks are healthy, it's Harbaugh's decision. And whether he makes the right one or wrong one, that's on him. It ain't on you. We all get up and go to work and make our money and don't affect us none. So – you know, it is what it is. So you got to trust the process, trust the system, and whether we like it or not, Harbaugh even said it this week. Whatever decision that was made, Dr. Willing, obviously, he was going to make the best position that gives us the best chance to win at that opponent. But my take, Brandon, and Rayleigh Rapp putting a bow in this sucker is with these bad defenses and running the ball control, I say continue that formula till it stops. And again, I want to get this notion out there. Lamar did play two bad defenses, but I tweeted out to a lot of people this week. Why are you going to – you should never apologize for who your opponent is. Did Mayweather apologize for his opponents going 50-0? Did Muhammad Ali apologize for beating a probably lesser opponent than him? Is that the case? Then I said then we should go back and put asterisks on all the cupcakes that Peyton Manning had, Tom Brady has. You know, Drew Brees had. I mean, you can't apologize for who you're lining up and who's hurt and who's not hurt and who's playing and who you're playing. I mean, y'all start 0-0 at week one, but then as you go through the year, players get hurt and bad defenses evolve. You can't help that the, you know, oh yeah, in week one, that matchup looked pretty tasty. Yeah. I mean, Brandon, just this matchup this coming week. When the season started, did you not circle the Falcons as a big fat L?
I did. Right? I won't lie.
Oh, yeah. I took a sneak peek at your schedule. I saw it. It's a big red marker. It's a big L. But see, now looking at it, now that it's evolved, the Falcons are out of it at 4-7. They have a trash defense, and the Ravens are running it all over the place right now. So, and the Ravens are actually favored slightly on a road game with a rookie quarterback right now. So times have changed, but you can't sit there and apologize for that. You know, it happens. You know, and that's why I'm saying, like, I don't care if Lamar played bad defenses. Everybody keeps saying, well, what happens if he plays a good defense? Well, he's going to have to at some point because if he's the franchise, he's going to have to play an elite defense. So shut up. Like, I can't get people's logic with that because he's going to have to. What, are you going to keep him playing bad defense all his career? You're asinine, man. Like, I just don't get it. Because like I said, it's fun to talk about, but then people just start getting in over head on this stuff. I'm like, calm down. It's a rookie that we drafted this year, and you know he's going to play whether sooner or later, and he's getting valuable time right now because Joe's hurt, and he's winning at that matter. I don't care about by any means necessary, and he's still healthy. He ain't hurt. And obviously he did calm down the running because he didn't run that much last Sunday. So, you know, it's a lot, a lot to chew on, a lot to digest. And I think because it is new, it's going to really ruffle feathers because we've been used to Joe for 11 years. Now we're going to change the guard, and then we don't know what to do because people don't – dude, it's human nature. People don't like change. They want the same stuff, whether we clamored for change here or the majority of fan base did because it wasn't working. But it's got to change because Joe can't play forever, and you know it just can't happen. So, oh man, it's going to be fun on Sunday to see how it all plays out with his first road start. But – you know, it's been, I mean, hey, shoot vacation more often, man. Let me have the ship solo here. It's just been fun. But I'm glad to have you back, man. It's be honest with you, it's not the same without you.
Well, thank you very much. But
that and people keep asking me for shows, and I'm like, I even joked this. I'm going to break into his house and start recording myself. I said, unfortunately, I don't have the money or the capability to buy the software. But I said, I would love to have a setup just like you, and I can run my show solo. But I'm not there yet. But I appreciate everybody bearing with us through. And I did say that. We do take a holiday break for Thanksgiving every year, so it's kind of anticipated. But hey, people are wanting the show, Brandon, so we're back. We're back in full force, and hopefully you're not going for another 11 days next time.
Not soon, but I mean, it's going to be a tough one doing a show this week. So make sure you go over to our Facebook page, because the Purple Friday preview might be a Facebook Live exclusive this week due to my work schedule.
You know
what'll
make it better?
What's that?
You know what'll make it better? Bring me some Crash for Christmas.
I like it.
Come on, man. Oh yeah.
So Josh, I mean, it's been a couple minutes, but have we covered everything for this Red Eye review?
This one was very hearty indeed. I don't know if the Raven has a voice to even say, hey. I think the Raven is pretty exhausted, but excited at the same time. But the Raven has quoted, and it says, "Quote the Raven, never." More.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at Italian GQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, this Purple Friday preview of this week will be a Facebook Live edition. Josh is going to be handling the reins of that. My work schedule is going a little crazy since I've been on vacation. So I got some late nights at work coming up. So Josh is going to get you all ready for Friday and get you ready for the Ravens and the Falcons. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Apple Podcasts by writing us a review, and then use social media and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the Red Eye review this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. Again, it's good to have you back, my friend. And man, I know this one was pretty exhausting. I've been chugging water the whole time. Ravens give us a lot to talk about these last few weeks. And it's great for us, man, because we love doing it. And it's just definitely – I think I've been more so engaged in social media and text messages in the last 2 weeks than all season long. I mean, I do it all year long with the Call Facebook page and Twitter and Facebook and just engaging with you guys. But, man, these last 2 weeks has been – it's been a lot. But it's fun. I'm not complaining at all. It's been fun with you guys, and keep it up. I love that you guys are asking for shows. I love that you guys are asking for what do you guys think? And I'm like, hey – I gave you bits and pieces, but I said the majority of it was going to be on the show because I said I won't point you guys there. I want you to obviously get the full picture, but it's a lot to talk about, and I don't think it'll ever be laid to rest. No matter what scenario happens, wins and losses, decisions, you know, who's healthy, who's not, you know. But you know, I heard a funny statement that said you can argue about it, you can be opinionated about it, but if you don't like it, go run your own franchise on Madden because I'm just happy I don't have to make the decision Harbaugh's got to make, because it's a stressful one, man. And Harbaugh even alluded to it this week. You know, he said, you know, not gonna lie, it's been pretty tough. He alluded to that, paraphrasing some of his words. You know, He was not shy about it. It's a pretty hard decision, and one he's not familiar with. This is the first time in his career that he has to make this type of decision. I'm happy. How about you guys? But I'm happy as anything. I don't have to make that. It's fun to watch it unfold, but I don't bet you, man. But hey, Gus Edwards has had a resurgence. The undrafted rookie, it's just awesome. He came out of nowhere. He's running hard. and you might see changes in the guard. You went from Joe Flacco to Alex Collins and Joe Flacco to now Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson. So, hey, and they're balling out, and the stats are proving otherwise. The results are there. They're 2-0. They got two valuable home wins for us. I don't care if they were against good or bad opponents; they're wins. And we are 4-5 before the bye. Came after the bye. Now we're 6-5, and it's not a coincidence as to why. You can go back to the games and watch it. And we're going to root them hard, no matter what. And if the Lamar Jackson era is truly here and the Joe Flacco era has ended, welcome to Baltimore, buddy. We're going to root you hard. At least I am. And I wish you the best out there, and stay healthy for us, and ball out, man. He's a great young kid. I got to meet him at a training camp here, a mini camp. Well, great spoken young man. And I don't know about you guys, but I love hearing his pressers. He's a joy to listen to. He's very well spoken, handles himself very well. I seen him on social media. He was out signing autographs after the game. I love it. I love the way he talks. I love the way he handles the media. He's got a presence about him. And I'm on the Lamar train. You know, still holding on the Joe's train, obviously, because of the body of work. And he's still the franchise quarterback, the best we've ever had here, quarterback-wise. So, you know, whether you love him or hate him, it's facts, Jack. But if it's truly the sunset on the Joe Flacco era, welcome Lamar. And if Joe Flacco gets another crack at it for us, we're going to welcome him back, and he's going to ball for us. So with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, you're flying high with Gus, and you're flying high with Lamar. How about it? Let's fly high down in Atlanta.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.